There's another word about the glorious visions of Isaiah. None of them came to pass. None of them. The lamb is not lying down with the lion. We are not reconciled to each other. Blah, blah, blah. And all the rest of it. So God was obviously protracting his plan for the world for a later time. And what was his plan for the world? It's very simple. It's very simple. You can keep this in mind as the simplest, most accessible description of what is to come. The kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is expressed gloriously in the first books of Genesis. What does the kingdom of God look like? What does it feel like? The kingdom of God is the condition in which every human being can stand, as Genesis puts it, naked and unashamed before everybody else. Full stop. You can't say, well, this is an adumbration of some other weird thing. No. That's the end time, folks. That's where we're all supposed to end up. However unimaginable, at least in my experience, it is very unimaginable, it may be. So, when you hear the glorious prophetic descriptions, again, for prophecy being just the way God sees the world, and they're not foretelling stuff, they weren't saying, well, this is the way God sees the world. At least that's what they thought, and the people who read them said, well, you're right, you are a prophet. By George. Okay. I'd like, for a change, to have a superscription over what I hope is a decent homily. It reads as follows. Where justice is denied, where poverty is enforced, where ignorance prevails, and where any one class is made to feel that society is an organized conspiracy to oppress, rob, and degrade them, then neither person nor property will be safe. I just ran across that. Anybody have even a clue who might have written that 100 years ago, better than 100 years ago? The great Frederick Douglass. Who was he? He was an escaped slave whom his mistress, when he was a slave, broke the law and taught him to read and write, because that was illegal. So he escaped to the North, ended up being a counselor to presidents. A marvelous social critic. A wonderful observer, out of his own guts, of course, of what was going on. And the reason I chose it, because last week I tried to say something sensible, I hope I did, about that God hole that I've said over and over, I don't experience as such, the hole where God's supposed to be doesn't fizz on me, I'm afraid. So we have to figure out what is supposed to be in that God hole. And last week I suggested, again, that, to put it in the Genesis terms again, where we can all stand naked and ashamed before each other, with each other. So the reason I was struck by this Douglass quote is that last line, neither persons nor property will be safe if all those other conditions are operative. Poor, degraded. So I want to try to say something sensible about us and property. We have the bilious example of Donald Trump in his gold-plated apartment. And you can see the nefarious effect of owning too much in the self-aggranding, narcissistic, unpleasant character that he presents himself to the world as being, with shame, without shame, you know. Look at his cabinet appointments. So we got Sessions from the Department of Justice, a known racist, for God's sake. We got Mike Price leading Health and Welfare, who wants to destroy the Obama scene. And then most egregiously for me, the last time, Mike Price. Pruitt? Okay. The one who wants, he's head of the EPA, and he's hell-bent on destroying the EPA. Go figure. And I'm not making this up. This is well known. And if the media is all corrupt, it has been because they have been so supine in the face of the regular stream of outrages that Trump has perpetrated ever since he opened his mouth, floating down like God from heaven on his Trump Tower escalator. He says he's going to work for the people, for all people. And as he continued to hire foreign laborers, you know, make America great again, he continued to hire foreign laborers to do his dirty work, who can pay, he can pay $3 an hour. He wouldn't know a poor person if they bit him on the bum. Whom does he, you know, what, there are now four billionaires in his cabinet? And you think they're going to be on the lookout for where the poor need help? Not bloody likely. I mean, you look at the Trump Foundation, which is crooked. He has used every means possible to self-aggrandize himself by giving away other people's money and claiming tax benefits for it. And I'm saying all this not because Donald Trump is some totally desperate, well, he may be totally desperate, but I recognize myself in all those things. I'd love to cheat on my tax returns. I'd love not to be owned by what I own. That's not true, because what we own defines us. The most grievous example of this I knew when I was living in Chicago. The poor blacks of Chicago, what was their highest desire? The poor blacks living in the ghetto, what did they want most in the world? A Cadillac. Because that would validate their existence before the rest of society. Because anybody who drives a Cadillac must be really, really, really important. And that brings up another noxious term that we use all the time, success. Think about it. What constitutes success? It's very simple, having lots of stuff. That's what constitutes success. You can talk about my, you know, well, fortunately none of my children are successes, so I don't have to worry too much in that direction. But I know that's not the way the culture assesses things. And what is the effect of being owned by what we own? Again, the major problem, it distances us from each other. Which is why I chose this statement of Douglass. Nobody's safe when there's injustice. What's justice? Justice is supposed to be the right relationship between human beings, period. You can refine that in a number of different ways. But it's supposed to be that we human beings acknowledge the reality of the humanity of the other, and we respect it and deal with it accordingly. Doesn't happen. Success is measured in terms of dollar signs. And that final thought of from this quote, neither property nor persons will be safe. So we are all horrified. Talking to my friend in Chicago last night, Bill Keneally, 700 murders in Chicago this year. And they're betting whether it will reach 1,000. This is one city. And most of this is black on black violence. Well, we all know that. The blacks are lazy. They don't get life is cheap. They don't care. Rubbish! That's disgusting, evil, sinful rubbish. And the only reason they prey on each other because it's too dangerous to prey on white people. And this gives them some sense of being someone. If I can shoot somebody, that makes me somebody. So the possession of a gun makes me somebody. And it doesn't take physical genius or physics genius to get, why are those blacks so unhappy? So discontent with their lives. That's why, again, I'd like to urge you to go see the movie Loving that Ellen was kind enough to take me to last week. I stood up and applauded. It was one of the most extraordinary films in on every direction, cinematography, acting, blah, 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 blah. And it's about a black woman married to a white man and moving back to Virginia, where they were promptly jailed because of the miscegenation laws. I don't think, and I lived in Mississippi for a year, I lived in the States for a good part of my life. Racism is not dead. Racism is not dead. And what's the essence of racism? I'm white and you're black, and that's all the difference I need. I need not address you. I need not take you seriously. I need not care for you because you're worthless anyway. And property makes the difference. Nobody's going to hit on somebody who walks out of Trump Tower with all these gold faucets and gold-plated accoutrements in his apartment. It's not surprising that he has not left that for the transitional space he's offered in Washington. You know, I do have a sizable grudge against Donald Trump. Because he's a serial liar and continues to be. I won by an outstanding majority. See, I have more than anybody else, than Hillary Clinton, although she's now 2.8 million votes ahead of him in the popular vote. I put that out for me, first of all. Project, stare at that. What is going on with this man, with me, with my possessions? I've told a number of you that I was horrified when I undertook this move to find out how much stuff I had assembled over 50 years. It's criminal, I think. And try as I might to dispossess myself of all this stuff, I'm not moving very quickly. And there's clearly resistance in me because I am my stuff. Love me, love my stuff. The two are interchangeable. And so the business of being open to all people, property is the great dividing line. The poor and the rich, that's the great dividing line. You know? Again, that magnificent novel of Ralph Ellison, black writer who published one fabulously fine novel, The Invisible Man. Who is the invisible man? Black people. And it's not just black people, it's poor people. They smell bad, and they do. They're unkempt, and they frequently are. They're badly dressed, which goes with the territory of being poor. How are you going to see the humanity of people beyond all those externals? Very hard to do. But I put to you, that's what Advent is to jog our memories about. That we really are one family, despite all the contrary evidence, and the contrary evidence is massive. You don't have to live in Aleppo or Mosul. I've heard racist comments from the London police, from my neighbors. I used to live in this very fancy neighborhood, and there was a fire, and the word went, oh, one of Trojak's niggers did that. What to do? These good, upstanding, upper-middle-class Londoners, you know, were able to dismiss the humanity of another human being, or to try to understand why that other human being, Marcello did not in fact set the fire, to be unable to understand in the lines of the great James Baldwin, to be black in America is to walk around in a state of constant fury. What we have, when I first moved to Canada, we have our own niggers. We have the native peoples. That's what I was told. Oh yeah, we got our niggers too. You got your niggers. Well, we also have our niggers here in London, Ontario too, but then we fortunately have all the native people. Now, as I said last week, folks, I'm not mad at anybody besides myself. I'm not standing, or sitting, rather, here in judgment on anybody else. But it seems to me that that article that I passed out, I can't circumvent it. Yeah, it was written in a limited population, rural environment. All that is true. All that is true. But none of that gets us off the hook from looking at what that article put forward as the property owner's problem. I don't have a solution. But by God, I know I am deputed, if I am to be a Christian, to look for one.